One other announcement I forgot to make. Susan Goodlett is ill and unable to be out today. That's why she's not here. And also, the men, if you did not get a October duty list, it's back on the back left. Very good. Before you hang the coats on top. And also, next theme, I will have that list out on Wednesday. All the song needs to have that out on Wednesday evening. We're looking at the power of God or the wisdom of man. We're examining the text of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're looking at whether or not men will ascribe to the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of man, or unto the wisdom of God, which is defined in our text as the power of God. We finished up this morning looking at verse number 9. In verse number 9, we read, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." And as we concluded our thoughts this morning, we clearly showed that in this context, this is not talking about heaven. It is talking about the revelation of the mind of God. The mind of God is being revealed to man in order that we might know the things that God would have us to do and the things that God would have us to follow as we live here upon the earth. In the text, it mentions the word us. It says in verse number 10, "Now God has revealed them to us." The us is the apostles. The apostles were given the inspired text. We are told in passages like John 16 and 13 that the Spirit of truth would guide them into all truth. All truth would be revealed to the apostles, and that they would write that truth down. In Ephesians 3, in verse number 5, we are told that, when we read, we can understand the knowledge of the mystery that has been revealed. We read in Deuteronomy 29:29 that the secret things belong to God. God didn't tell us everything. He told us what we needed to know. He told us what he wanted us to know. And everything else is his prerogative that he kept secret. But what he did tell us in that message was inspired. That word inspired means God breathed. It means every sentence, every paragraph, every thought, every teaching is important because it came from the mind of God. That is the power of God. As we examine this morning, the power of God is in his word. We read that in Romans, the first chapter, and verse number 16. And he mentions in the text that what man knows the thought of a man unless they're revealed to him. As you're sitting out there in the audience tonight, I don't know what you're thinking about. Are you focusing on 1 Corinthians? Are you thinking about what you're going to do when you leave here? Are you thinking about things you have to do next week? I don't know what's in your mind. And I would not know that unless you reveal that to me. None of us. Understand this. None of us and no one in the world knew the mind of God. God had to reveal that in a way that it could become known, that it could become understood, and it could be obeyed. Unless it was revealed to us, we would still be in the dark. And we gave many examples this morning of things that we would know nothing about had it not been that God revealed that to us through his word. The illustration is that the Holy Spirit knows what God's plan is and that we don't know it until he tells us. Why does the Holy Spirit know the mind of God? Because he's part of the Godhead. He's part of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is in that class. He is in that class of God. And he was part of the Godhead. He was there in the very beginning. If you go back to Genesis, the account of creation, it says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. That's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God knows the mind of God because he is God. He is God and he knows exactly what God's mind is, and he revealed what God told him to reveal. And that way we know what we need to know in order to please God. But you know, man is a curious being. He's always worried about things that he doesn't know, things that God hasn't told him. You know how many times I've been asked, where did Cain's wife come from? Were there dinosaurs on the ark? And who did Cain marry? And where did his wife come from? The Bible doesn't tell us that. Those things are not privy to us. Are they important? If they were important, God would reveal them to us. And therefore, they are not privy because they're not important. But the things that are important, God revealed them to us, so what? So we would know what God expected. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. In the old law, God revealed to them in the old law that He gave them what He expected of them. He gave them a law that was written on tables of stone. And He gave them a physical law. It had physical requirements. It had physical things that they had to do. Feasts that they had to keep. Offerings that they had to sacrifice. And special relationships and how they would act within those relationships. He also gave them consequences of what He would do if they did not abide within His doctrine, within the law of God. Now those things were given and revealed to them so they would know this is what God wants. The Spirit revealed to us this is what God expects. This is what God wants you to do. And without that revelation, you and I would be free to do whatever we wanted to do as long as we were honest and sincere and do it in the best of intentions as a glory and honor to God. If God did not reveal it to us, then we could do that. But you know what's sad? The majority of the world acts like that as if God did not reveal it to us. God did reveal them to us, and what He has revealed to us limits us. Listen to me, it limits us. We can't go beyond what is written. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 6. We will examine that text in a few weeks. But we need to remember that the Holy Spirit knew the mind of God because He is God. The Spirit is the agent. The Spirit is the agent of God's revelation. In all these passages in John 14, 26, in 15, 26, in 16, 13, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 3 through 5, the Spirit is the revelator. He is the one that God gave the instruction to and He revealed it to man. He is the one that works through the Word. The medium of the Holy Spirit's work is done through the Word. There is no divine intervention. There is no operation of the Holy Spirit. There is no literal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. All of that is a theology of men. The Holy Spirit works and does His work through the Word of God. I'll challenge you this way. You show me everything the Holy Spirit does, and I'll show you the Word does the same thing. Does the same thing. Because that's the medium of the Holy Spirit's work. Now let me explain it this way. God was the one that made the plan. Jesus was the one that died for the plan. And the Holy Spirit was the one that revealed the entirety of the plan. Now which one of the Godhead do you want to leave out and have the whole thing understood? It takes all three of them. It takes the Father, it takes the Son, and it takes the Holy Spirit. And them working in unison, them working in complete harmony, those working together with complete unity, we have everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. You see, God revelator was the Holy Spirit. He revealed to us the details of what God expects of man. The Word of the Spirit are final and complete. There are no other instructions needed. 2 Peter 1 that I just quoted says He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Ladies and gentlemen, how much is all things? That means everything. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know what that word inspiration means? It means God breathed. Every word, every sentence, every thought came from the mind of God. And it completely equips us to every good work. Now, what work did God leave out? What truth did he not reveal? What truth was left out that had to be revealed later? And if it was revealed later, who revealed it? Who revealed it? You know what I find interesting? Every person that says that God's talked to them, or the Lord's talked to them, or the Spirit's talked to them, they all tell something different. And they all tell things that are contrary to what the Spirit really revealed that you can pick up and read in the Word. And you know why that is? Because if he revealed the same thing that's in the Word, then he was doing something he didn't need to do because it had already been done. People believe in latter-day revelation because they can't find the authority for what they want to do in here, so they have to get more revelation. But there is no more revelation. This is all the revelation there's going to be. There's not going to be another divine message. There's not going to be another divine sacrifice. There's not going to be another dispensation of time on earth. This is it. You know, that's why the Bible refers to these days as the last days. This is the last dispensation of time on the earth. And that goes against the grain of the majority of the religious world who believe in the premillennial theory about the 1,000-year reign on earth, that the Lord's going to come down here from heaven, reinstitute Judaism, going to reign in Jerusalem, going to sit on the throne of David in the literal city of Jerusalem, and going to rule and reign on the earth from the city of Jerusalem and have utopia on earth. Brethren, it's human theology. The Bible never revealed it. The Spirit never revealed it. All of that is man's wishful thinking and his imagination running wild and misconstruing simple passages of prophecy in Scripture. This is all that there is. If you want to know, you know, I've had people tell me, well, I'll obey God when he tells me what he wants me to do. Here it is. You want to know what God wants you to do? This is the only way you're going to hear it. He's not going to whisper it in your ear. He's not going to tell you in a vision. He's not going to whisper at night when you're asleep. He's not going to do some miraculous thing in your life to make you able to accept the Word of God. Everything that God could do to have you receive his Word has already been done through the work of the Holy Spirit. The mystery has been revealed. The source of these words spoken by Paul are not the words of men, but the words of God. Let me read you one passage that's not on this. We've read these passages this morning. Let me read you another passage. Take your Bible to 2 Timothy Chapter 2, and listen to the words of the Apostle Paul in the last letter that he wrote concerning the Word of God. He made this statement at the end of chapter 3. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof, that is for rebuke, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You see, God tells us what's right, he tells us what's wrong, and he tells us how to make the wrong right. That's what he does in his Word. And verse 17 says, that the man of God may be complete. Now what does that word complete mean? It means perfect. It means having everything that is needed. And look at the last sentence. Thoroughly equips him to every good work. Every good work. You know, I hear a lot of people today talk about good works. They do this and it's a good work. They do this in the name of God and it's a good work. Ladies and gentlemen, if that work cannot be found in the Bible, it cannot be labeled good spiritually. I'll give you an example. That craft fair across the street, in front of the church that's up on the hill right across from us, that is not a good work. Because the Bible says nothing about having a craft fair or recreational or having human fellowship. The Bible is absolutely silent on that. That is not a good work. I don't care how much money you raise. I don't care what you do with that money. It's not a work of God because he did not authorize it. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do by the name of the Lord. That means by His authority. The Spirit revealed the authority of God. The words are vehicles of thought. That's what words do. They communicate thought. They communicate instruction. God has revealed His will through the use of words. Why? Because words is how we communicate. How did He do it in the patriarchal age? He talked to the fathers. He communicated to them. He told Noah, here's the instructions, build the ark. He told Abraham, leave your home and go to a place that I will show you. He talked through Moses and the prophets in the Mosaic age. And now He speaks through His Son, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 3. And those are the only three ways that God has ever spoken to man and ever will speak to man. And He communicated His will in every dispensation of time so man would know this is what God desires. Here is what God demands. Here are the instructions. And your choice is to whether accept it, reject it, and take the consequences by whatever decision you make. The passage affirms that verbal plenary inspiration of the Scripture. What that means, brethren, is that Paul didn't write down his thoughts. James didn't write down his thoughts. Matthew didn't write down his thoughts. And Isaiah didn't write down his thoughts. Jeremiah didn't write down his thoughts. Some people think that what God did is He gave them a general command, and then they expanded on it, and they expanded on it in the Scripture. No, that's not how it works. How it works is that every thought that is in the Bible came from the mind of God. Every teaching that's in there is important. You know what people tell me today? Well, you know, we can agree on the basic things, that Jesus really did live, and that He died, and He was resurrected, and He's at the right hand of God, and He died for the sins of the world. We can agree upon that. But you know, all this doctrine stuff, we can disagree on that. We don't have to be in agreement on that. Really? Tell me, why do we not have to agree on that when it came from the mind of God, just like the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ? Why do we have to agree on that? That came from the mind of God. But the teaching about the worship of the church, the work of the church, how the church is organized, what kind of parents we ought to be, how we should raise our children, how we don't have to agree on that because that's just that doctrine stuff. Tell me how you rationalize that. It all came from the mind of God. It all came from the Bible. That tells me it all has the same validity because it all came from God. Every thought was given to them. They didn't write down what they thought God meant. They didn't do that. They wrote down exactly what God told them to write down through the work of the Holy Spirit. You know what inspiration also can be defined as? It means to be moved along. The Holy Spirit is like a rudder of a ship that carries the ship wherever it wants to go. That's how the Holy Spirit did its work through the apostles and the inspired writers, to tell them what God wanted man to do. The man who seeks to reason from an earthly perspective can never understand the wisdom of God. If you try to reason God's word with our limited thinking from a human vantage point, you're never going to get it. Let me give you an illustration. Most people fight against baptism. 90% of the religious world believes baptism has no connection in a man's salvation. And you know why they believe that? Because they believe it's a work and they can't see the connection between water and the blood. It doesn't make human sense. It doesn't have human logic. Brethren, we forget in Isaiah 55, it says God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He doesn't think like man. He doesn't reason like man. He's not man. He's God. He thinks like God does. And we need to accept that He thinks like God does. We need to remember He's God. God thinks like God thinks. And His ways and His thoughts, you know what the Bible says? They are higher and more nobler than ours. You know what we need? need to be careful not to do? Don't try to bring God out of heaven and put him on earth. He's in heaven. We're on earth. You know what Ecclesiastes says? In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, it says, weigh your words carefully. Don't be rash with your mouth. Be remembered that God is in heaven, you are on earth. Let your words be few. The Bible is not written from a human perspective. It is written from God's perspective. And his perspective is much clearer and better than ours. God's word must be spiritually discerned. Brethren, they must be spiritually discerned. Why did I submit to the waters of baptism? Because God commanded me to. He said, when I do that, I contact the blood of Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. I might not understand it, but I believe it because God said it. God said that his son, when he sent him to earth, was deity on earth. Now, how he kept it separate, how he used all of... How do you stop being God? We had some brethren a number of years ago that argued that God stopped being God when he came to earth. How do you do that? If you're God, how do you stop being God? How do you do that? Now, do I have to understand every aspect of what it means to be both man and God at the same time? Do I have to understand all the interwovings of that and be able to explain every little detail of that? No. I just accept the premise. The Bible says he was fully man, Hebrews 4:15. He was tempted in all ways yet like us, yet without sin. And I know that he was God because man worshipped him. In John chapter 9 and verse 38, and man cannot be worshipped, only God can be worshipped. So I know he was both God and man while on earth. Spiritual truth is foolishness to those who are not spiritually minded. If you're talking to somebody that has no spiritual inclination, that has no spiritual foundation, that has no love for God, that has no belief in the Bible, you cannot reason from the Bible with such a person. You're on two different wavelengths. You're in two different worlds. A person that thinks like the world cannot understand the Bible. You know, that's why intelligent people don't accept the Bible. It's too logical. It's too easy. It's too simplistic. That's why they reject it. Because they can't reason it with human wisdom. You know why? Because they're not spiritually discerned. Why does God have us love our enemies? John 5, verse 44 and 45. My enemies don't love me. My enemies don't wish nothing but ill will with me. Why do I have to love them? Because God says that's a better way. Romans chapter 12 says it's a better way. You heap coals of fire on his head. You overcome evil with good. Why? Because that's God's way. God says that you love without condition. God says you love your brethren. Why? Because that's what God commands. Now, we might not understand the wisdom in it, but we understand that God's ways are better than ours. You know why I follow the Bible? Because I know God is smarter than Keith. I know God has more wisdom and knowledge than I will ever have and any man will ever have. You know the one that could speak the world into existence? He has more wisdom than I got. You know that? Is that hard for me to grasp? Can I speak anything into existence? I can't even make the light come on unless I flip this switch. God said, let there be light, and it happened. Brethren, that's power. That's God. I believe God because he's God. You can't understand truth unless you are spiritually minded. If you're not spiritually minded, the Bible will mean nothing to you. And you can reason with a man all day long who is not spiritually minded and you will get nowhere. Because you are on two different paths. The man who uses spiritual judgment must accept the mind of Christ that has been revealed. You know what that means? Don't argue with God. When God says, this is what I want, don't argue with him. Maybe you don't like it. Maybe you don't understand it. Maybe you think there's a better way. You can argue with God. You're gonna think that you can counsel God? You know what amazes me when people think that they can come up with plans that can do things quicker and better and more profitable than the ways that God's designed? You know what that is, brethren? That's arrogance. That's haughtiness. Nobody can do it better than God. You know, the church is perfectly organized to do everything that God designed the church to do. It doesn't need any amendments. It doesn't need anything added. It doesn't need anything taken away. And so, a man who uses spiritual judgment, he accepts the mind of God without reservation, without wavering, without arguing, without any misconception. He accepts it because God said it. And if you don't do that, then you're going to be lost. I'll be real straight. You can argue with God and you can believe that you got over. But one day you'll face Him in judgment and you'll find out that thing that you argued against, that thing that you didn't want to do, that thing that you didn't believe, is still in there. And you're still going to have to deal with it. Who can seek or have higher counsel than God? Turn over to Romans 11 for a moment. I like this passage. Romans chapter 11. Listen to what Paul wrote. Because this is exactly what men are doing today. Oh, the depth or the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His riches and His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become His counselor? Brethren, are you going to counsel the Lord? Would I put myself in a position that I'm going to counsel God on what He should do, how He should do it, and in the manner that He should do it? But we got people doing this in religion every day. Let me give you one illustration that divided us in the early 60s. The Herald of Truth. The Herald of Truth decided that the quicker way to expand the gospel throughout all the world was to make an organization separate and apart from the church, make one church have a body of directors that would have all the money from these other churches, sending it to this body, the Herald of Truth, and then they would take that money and they would distribute all over the world, send preachers all over the world, and they would take and permeate the whole world with the gospel through the Herald of Truth. That was in 1950. They haven't done it yet. You know why? Because God already had a plan. Let me read you God's plan. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Here's God's plan to do the same thing. And these things that you may have heard among me, among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You know how God expected the gospel to be spread in the whole world? Somebody taught it to me. I'm going to go teach it to someone else. And then they're going to teach it to someone else. And they're going to teach it to someone else. And that's how you proclamate the gospel throughout the whole world. And one other thing, brethren. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse 23, the Bible says that the gospel was preached to every creature under heaven in the first century. No phones. No telegraph. No airplanes, no buses, no cars, no internet, no computers, no printers. But the gospel went to every creature under heaven in a period of 29 years from the beginning of the church. How did they do it? The thing that you have heard among men, many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Let me ask you a question. If it worked then, will it work now? What did he tell the apostles? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's God's plan. Now, can we do it better than God? I don't think so. And so, in conclusion, have you submitted to the wisdom of God, or to the power of God, or to the wisdom of men? Because every one of you in this audience tonight, you have submitted to one or the other. You rest your hope in the power of God and the wisdom of God, or you have put your hope in the wisdom of men. You're in one place or the other. And how I know that is that's the only two choices there are. You either have the wisdom of the world or you have the power of God. You have to determine which it is. I'll stick with this. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This word can convert the lost soul and turn a person that's a sinner into a saint. It can make one lost to be saved. It can take one out of the condition of being outside the church to being inside the church. And it can take a soul destined for hell and put him on another direction. Can the wisdom of men do that? Can it? You know the answer to that. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, the only gospel that you should believe in the way is the gospel of Christ. If you accept the wisdom of men, then you get everything that comes with that. And what comes with that is temporal satisfaction, a lack of the truth, and an eternity separated from God in hell. Now, it's a real easy proposition. It's not difficult to understand. All men must come up to make a decision. They'll put their power and their authority and their hope in what men say, in human theology. Or they'll put their power and their hope in the gospel and the words of Christ, His power. The selection is very easy. What you choose is up to you, as together we stand and as we sing. Heart of